2 weeks ago on this morning when we were going to be honoring our graduates and then on this special day, I just began to just, Lord, what do you preach on this day? Because I believe God fixes, God prepares His word for that day, for those people, for that occasion. It's a word for us in this occasion. And as I began to ponder on that and meditate through that, this thought just began to resonate in my mind. I heard an old preacher years ago make a statement or two, and this thought has just kind of resonated in my mind ever since. And as I began to study, and the Lord began to carry me to a story that I want to tell you about from the Bible here in just a moment. But this idea of God punctuating our life. There are, by the way, 14 distinct punctuation marks in the English language. The Oxford Dictionary tells us that those are meant to make the sentences easier to understand, to make communication clear and effective. And how many of you know that's what punctuation does? In fact, what's interesting is when punctuation is not correct or when punctuation is not added, punctuation can make all the difference in the world. In fact, punctuation gone bad can have some really funny results. I came across this picture, and I want to demonstrate what I'm talking about here this morning. Let's eat grandma, and let's eat grandma are two different things entirely. And in the second case, you're getting ready to sit at grandma's table, right? In the first case, grandma better be on the run. It's two totally, punctuation makes all the difference in the world. And badly placed punctuation can surely make all the difference in the world. And I want to tell you this morning, the same thing is true in your life. God is writing His story in your story. He's writing your story and He's writing His story, and God comes at times and He punctuates our life. And I just want to talk for just a few moments about that from a story that is a powerful story in the New Testament. It's from John, the 11th chapter, and I just want to talk for a few moments about it. Many of you, perhaps most of you, are familiar with this story. It's the story where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And in raising Lazarus from the dead, it's a powerful story there. This story, remember, there's some incredible sermons have been preached from this passage. It's in this passage, remember, that Jesus declares, "I am the resurrection and the life." It's in this passage, this story, that Jesus declares that he who believes in me, he will live and not die. It's in this story that Jesus says, he who believes in me and lives in me, though he die, he will live. Hello? I mean, there's some powerful passages and powerful stories, lines from this story. It's in this story where Jesus demonstrates his power over the grave. When he stands before the grave and the stone has been there, and it's been there for 4 days. It's in this story that Jesus tells him to roll the stone back, demonstrating his power over the grave, that he's not afraid of the grave. He doesn't afraid of how long Lazarus has been there in the grave, and we see it demonstrated there. It's in this story that we begin to see that Jesus has the power over death when he says, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus rises up and gets out of that grave. And it's in this story where we see how he has the power to set men free, not only to raise them from the grave, but to set them free when he looks at Lazarus and he says, "Loose him and let him go. Cut the grave clothes off of him." And many powerful and wonderful messages and sermons and storylines are there in this story. But for this morning, I feel like the Lord would have me concentrate on another part of this story in the very beginning. The passage is on the screen. It is fascinating. Jesus is not yet in Jerusalem. He's not yet there at Lazarus. He's still away, and he gets word that Lazarus is sick. And the sickness is bad. And Jesus does something there that before he ever goes, before he ever talks about it, Jesus punctuates this story. He punctuates this story. He puts his punctuation, his emphasis on everything that they're about to experience over the next few hours. He puts his punctuation in the beginning of the story when he says this. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death," or "is not unto death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified in it." I want to take just a moment, and I want us to understand what Jesus is saying here, because it helps us understand the punctuation that Jesus is putting in the story, the emphasis that he is putting on the story. He's making a point about all that is about to happen, and that point that he is about to happen makes everything else makes it. You understand? Just like punctuation in a sentence, Jesus is punctuating this story and said, look, you need to understand everything that is about to happen through this thought process right here. And he puts that punctuation, and he says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, what was Jesus actually saying? I want to take just a moment or two and kind of expound a little bit just on what Jesus was actually saying there. And then I just want to talk with you a little bit about when God punctuates our story. Notice, first of all, that Jesus says this sickness. Understand here, this is so important, because many times we get off track here. He uses the word sickness. The word there is a feebleness. It means feebleness. It means frailty. It means disease or infirmity or weakness. You got to understand this. This sickness is real. You understand what I'm saying this morning? This sickness is real. He uses the word feeble. He understands the position that Lazarus is in. He understands that what is about to happen. He understands what is going on in Lazarus' life. And he understands it's real. But notice what he says here. He says, it will not be unto death. The word death there means the end. In other words, what he's saying there is, look, what you think is the end is not the end. In fact, it's not even the point. You understand what he's saying here? He said, what you think is the end is not the end. It's not even the point of what we are talking about here. It's not even the point. I know you're going to see some things you don't understand and some things that don't make sense, but you got to understand it's not even the point. He says the point is, watch this, God's glory. The word there is an interesting word. It means honor, prestige, fame, recognition. Listen to this. In the middle of Lazarus' story, Jesus is punctuating it with his glory. Listen to me this morning. You got to get this. You got to understand this. God wants to punctuate your story with his glory. And when he punctuates your story with his glory, then the point is not even the point. And the end is not even the end. He's the end. He's the point. He's the one that gets the glory. Aren't you glad this morning that God punctuates your life with his glory? Oh my goodness, then it all of a sudden starts to make sense. You understand how God's punctuation makes it start making sense, but without that punctuation, you can't understand the story and what's going on in the story. The word there is interesting. It says that through it, he will be glorified. That's a fascinating word there in the Greek language. The word through there means the channel through which something comes about. You understand what he's saying? What he's saying is that Lazarus's tragedy, now get this, Lazarus's tragedy is the channel through which glory will flow to God. And I know that's a tough concept to understand and to grasp and get a hold of this morning, but listen, everybody's going to have tragedy. It's part of the fallen world that we live in today. Tragedy is part of the fallen world that we live in. But if you don't understand that it is a channel through which God begins to punctuate the story of our lives with his glory, his plan, his purpose, what he is about to do, what he is about to bring about. See, Jesus, what you don't understand what Jesus is doing. Before Jesus ever gets to Lazarus, he is pointing out that the sickness was not the point, that death is not even the point, that God's glory is the point. Here's what he's saying. Listen to this morning. The purpose in what Lazarus was facing was greater than the circumstances that he was facing. I don't know this. Some of you, I don't think, quite grasp that. The purpose in what Lazarus was facing was greater than the circumstances for what he was facing. You understand this morning. Listen, you got to grasp it. You got to get your arms around this morning and get your hands around this morning. Listen, the purpose in what you're going through in life is greater than the circumstance you face. That's an absolute crucial point that you and I need to latch hold of today, because listen to me this morning, circumstances sometimes can get confusing. Circumstances can get ugly. Circumstances can get bad. But I'm telling you, the purpose of God in it is greater than the circumstance that you face. Greater than the circumstance you face. See, Jesus, watch this. Jesus is putting his emphasis, his punctuation in Lazarus's story. Otherwise, what Lazarus is about to go through doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Anybody been there? Anybody faced anything like that before? You see, it is God's punctuation that makes it make sense. It's when God punctuates my life with his glory, with his purpose, with his will, that it begins to make sense. The punctuation brings clarity to what is about to occur. Without that punctuation, it can easily be misunderstood. Listen, the situation can easily be fearful. It can easily seem completely, entirely out of control. But when God punctuates our story with his glory, it changes it entirely and fills it with his purpose and with his meaning. This morning, I just feel like maybe there's some here this morning that you're searching, you're going through some things and facing some things that they don't make sense. Can I tell you this morning? If you'll look, you'll see God's punctuating your story. He's writing your story, and he is adding his glory to your story in order that he can receive glory and honor and praise. And then the story begins to make a little more sense. It begins to make a little more sense. When God punctuates your story, he fills it with his purpose. The danger is this. The danger is it's easy to not see or to misunderstand or even not accept God's punctuation. Right? It's easy to not see or misunderstand or even to reject God's punctuation. So I just want to tell you three quick things this morning. Three quick things about God's punctuation in our life, in your life, and my life, and then I'm going to be finished. That's probably all my voice is going to let me do this morning anyway. There are the two most common punctuations is a period and a comma. A comma and a period. The most used punctuation in all of the English language are the comma and the period. So I want to show you three things this morning about when God puts a period in our life, when God puts a comma in our life, what he's doing, and some things that we just need to be aware of. And just listen to me just for a moment. And here it is. Three things. If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write these down. First thing is this. Never, never put a period where God puts a comma. Never put a period where God puts a comma. See, listen to me this morning. Everybody in Lazarus' life, Martha and Mary and the mourners that had gathered around, they all thought that God had put a period. Are you hearing what? They thought this was a period. A period brings the end of something. It stops the thought. But what they didn't understand is God, he hadn't put a period. He put a comma there. A comma means there's a pause. A comma means there's more to the story. There's more to the thought. There's more that is coming. And the temptation in that moment, listen, when you are standing there at a grave, outside of a grave, and he's been dead 4 days. And as Martha said, he stinketh by now. It's a temptation to put a period there when God just meant to put a comma there. Listen to me this morning. Never, ever, ever put a period where God puts a comma, because God's not through. He's not finished. He's still working. He's still moving. He's still on the throne. He still has a plan. Listen to me. Discouragement can cause you to put a period there when it was just supposed to be a comma. Right? Other people's verses can cause you to put a period there when it was just supposed to be a comma. Circumstances, and I'll just say it this morning, Simeon, Irma, it would be real temptation. It's been 10 years after all. But listen to me, don't you fall into the trap of putting a period where God put a comma. A comma is a pause, and God's not through yet. Amen? God's not through yet. Oh, I'm just, when I was this week, as I was thinking on this sermon, that song that many of us have been singing, it's not over. It's not finished. Right? It's not over till God says it's over. Amen? God's put a comma there. You see, a comma is a pause. A comma is a pause. It's transitioning to another thought, something that makes the after the comma makes before the comma make sense. But if you put a period, it'll never make sense to you. That's right? If you put a period there, it'll never make sense to you. You've got to understand that God just put a comma there. He just paused there. Listen, when God puts a comma in your life, it's just a pause because there is something coming. There is something meaningful. There's something of his purpose. There's something of his glory. There's something of his power that is still yet to come, church. Don't put a period where God puts a comma. Oh, hallelujah. If you put a period where God puts a comma, your experience will lack purpose and meaning, and you'll miss the point. Do you know why God puts commas? For the same reason they're in the English language. He puts commas so that we'll get the real point. We have a tendency, especially in difficulty and going through tough times, we have a temptation to miss the real point, right? And oftentimes the point becomes about us or our life or our circumstance or what we are going through. And so he puts commas in our life. He puts a pause in our life so that we'll get the real point of what is going on. Never put a period where God puts a comma. It's important that you and I to know. Listen, can I add something else here? Oh, listen to me. Living in the comma is a tough deal. Anybody here ever lived in a comma? Anybody here living in a comma now? Right? And living in a comma is a tough, it's that pause, it's that comma that is there. Can I tell you something? It's in verse 5 and 6. And sometimes go there and read it. After Jesus makes this statement in verse 4, here's what he says in verse 5 and 6. It says, and Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus, and he stayed 4 more days. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. If God loves me, he ought to move now. Come on now. If God loves me, he ought to come on. What he's doing over there is not nearly as important as what's going on. If he loves me, he ought to move now. It's almost as though with his actions, he is putting the comma in the life. But let me tell you something. It's important that you and I know this morning that when you're living in that comma, that he loves you. And that he cares about you. And he cares about what's going on in your life. And he sees and he knows. It's not that he's absent and he doesn't see and he doesn't know. In fact, quite the opposite. Because he loves you, he's going to put a comma there so that what comes to take place will make sense of what has taken place. And he will receive the glory for it. If you're living in a comma this morning, I want you to know he loves you. And he sees what's going on. And he fully intends to move. Don't put a period there. It's just a comma. Amen? Amen? Let me show you the second thing here this morning. Never put a comma where God puts a period. Never put a comma where God puts a period. Do you remember what Jesus did when he walked up here and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up out of that. In fact, I heard an old preacher say one time, I'd never thought about it before. It's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth. They'd have had a mass resurrection, right? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus gets up and he walks out of the grave. Didn't you remember what he does? Now listen now, he's out of the grave. He's left the grave. The grave's been moved. Stone's been rolled back. He's out of the grave. He's standing there. And then Jesus says this. Remember what he says? Remember it says, and Lazarus was bound head and foot in the grave clothes. And Jesus looks and he says, loose him and let him go. You understand what Jesus was doing? He was putting a period in Lazarus's life. What he was doing, he said, loose him and let him go. Lazarus, you have no longer any use for those grave clothes. You're not going back in the grave, Lazarus. There's no need. You don't need to be connected with death and connected with destruction. When he said, loose him and let him go, he was letting everybody know, this is not a comma. This is a period. He's putting a period between Lazarus's life and his death. And when Jesus puts a period there, that's the end of it, my friend. Don't you put a comma there. Don't you put a comma there. You know, when Jesus puts a period in your life, he puts it there between you and the dead thing, the destructive thing. Right? When he puts that period in your life, he sees and he looks in your life and there's some dead, destructive things in your life. And when he puts that period there, he's saying, look, don't go back and put a comma. Because this is not connected to that. That's over. What business did, if Lazarus, here we go. If Lazarus is going to live, what business does he have in dead clothes? Grave clothes. And yet I see it time and time and time again. God puts a period in people's lives. And they go back. I wish I had a big old pencil. They go back and they take and they erase that period. Come on now. And they put a comma there. And they go back and start dabbling in it. Right? They go back and start messing with it. God's told some young lady to leave that man alone and put a period there. And what she do? She puts a comma. Right? So, hang-ups in our life, sins in our life, addictions in our life. And what do we do? And God puts a period there. And at an altar somewhere, God put a period and said, you are free. You are redeemed. You have no use for that form of life. It is, I'm putting a period in your life. And Britt, you've seen it. And they go back and they put a comma there. When God meant for it to be a period, meant for it to be over. God, listen to me. God, when God puts that period in your life, it's because that thing prior is dead to you. Don't put a comma there. Don't put a comma there. As I say that this morning, I just have a sense this morning that there are some individuals that you have a sense of some things in your life that you've put commas. Can I tell you this morning? God's a good instructor. If you'll let him, he'll put a period there. He'll put a period in your life because he doesn't want you attached to those things that are dead, those things that are destructive. He wants you to live free. He wants those grave clothes off. He wants you to be shaken free from that. Listen, if God has put a period in your life, he's saying, look, life is not in those dead places. Life is not in those dead places. You have to stop living there. God put a comma there. Listen, if you substitute a comma where God has put a period, you'll continue to go back to those places of death and destruction. God put a period there for a reason. Because he wants to cut that off from the freedom and the purpose and the power and the anointing that he has for you in your life. Amen? Don't go back to the dead. God's called you to the living. Amen? Never put a comma where God puts a period. Last thing I want to show you this morning is this. When God puts a period, it's because he's about to start another paragraph. He's fixing to connect your story to his story. When God puts a period, he's not finished. He's not through. He has something he is going to do. Do you remember what it says in the story? There is a small statement with huge implications at the very end of this story. You know what it says? It says, after all of this, after Lazarus was raised from the dead, after all of this, here's what it says. It says, and many of the Jews who were with Mary put faith in him. Do you see what God was doing? He put a period at that grave in Lazarus' life so that he could then go on and write the rest of the story. And the rest of the story was that many who had never believed before, now they put their faith in him. Listen, when God puts a period in your life, he's not finished. He's not through. He still has more of the story that he is going to write, more of the story that he is going to do. I love that. Verse 45, put their faith in him. But doesn't that make sense? Remember, Joy, how he punctuated the story at the beginning? What did he say? He said, this is not unto death, but for my glory. So why does it surprise us then in verse 45 that that's exactly what he does? He brings glory. The Son of Man receives the glory, and many who see it now put their faith in him. It's not over. It's not finished. When God is in it, amen? God's writing your story. And you're going to find in life that there are commas and there are periods and there are exclamation points. I don't even have time to go in this morning. Listen, anybody ever lived in an exclamation point? Sometimes they are like, wow. And sometimes they are like, wow. You're going to have times when there are question marks in your life and God's going to put quotation marks in your life because he's going to say, look, I want you to remember this. But listen to me this morning. God's writing your story. And in writing your story, he is putting your story within his story. And in that, you and I can know that God's not finished. He's not through. He's still writing. Listen to me. When God put the period in the story, it was because he was about to do something grander and bigger and greater. He was putting purpose in it. He was putting purpose in it. Without the purpose, it's just sickness. Without the purpose, it's just death. Without the purpose, it's just life. But with the purpose now, there's glory to him. There's praise to him. There's honor to him. Now there's more to it. When God puts a period in your life, he's going to start writing another paragraph. You're going to start writing another paragraph. You see, what God does in our lives when he punctuates our lives is he lets us know that what he's doing, what's going on right now, that he's going to do something that transcends, that's greater than, that's bigger, that transcends that moment in your life and my life. What difference does that make, Pastor? What difference does that make? Here it is. Death and sickness and divorce and hurt and losing a job, and when God punctuates it, it can have purpose. And when you understand God's punctuation, you understand that he's up to something then. Amen? Not only that, life and vision and goals, right? And careers, they all of a sudden become bigger now because they are connected. When God punctuates it, they're connected to his story. And now it's not just about me, it's about him. Talents and gifts and time and our resources all become tied. When God punctuates our life, they all become tied to the bigger story that he's writing. Amen? Amen? So how are you now to respond to that this morning? Here's what I know. God is writing your story, and when he punctuates it, it begins to make sense. So here's, I think, the best thing that you and I can do this morning is this. We need to ask God to help us to see his punctuation, right? Because here's what I know. This whole sermon in one sentence, here's what I know this morning. Come on. Embrace God's punctuation in your life, and you'll discover that your story is filled with his purpose and his glory. Amen? You're here this morning. You want to embrace God's punctuation in your life. When you do, here's what I know. Your story then will begin to be filled with more purpose, more meaning. It will begin to be filled with more substance, more significance, because now your story will be connected to His story. His story. So here's how I want to finish this sermon. Here's my challenges. Maybe you're here. You've had a tough time embracing God's punctuation. You've had a tough time. You want to write your story yourself. It's my life. I'm in charge of it. I can do what I want. You live in confusion, misunderstanding. Life doesn't make sense. You just seem to be going from one story to another story, and just seems life doesn't tie together. It don't make any sense. If that's you here this morning, I want to tell you, God will start today punctuating your life with His purpose and His plan. But you got to ask Him to. You got to surrender to Him. So if you are here this morning and you just simply just haven't allowed God to put His purpose and His plan in your life, you just haven't accepted that, you wanted to be in charge of your own life, I'm telling you, God's ready this morning. And then there may be another group of people. God's in charge of your life. God's in control of your life. He's your Lord. You are saved. You're redeemed. You know you're going to heaven. But there's some things in your life that you just haven't been able to really fully embrace His punctuation. In particular, maybe you've gone back and put commas where God put periods. And you just need God to speak freedom into your life this morning. If you are either one of those here in just a minute, I want to pray over you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask us to bow our heads, and then I'm going to say a simple prayer. And then if that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to stand up right where you are. And then I will pray that God will begin to punctuate your life. Lord, before I give this call, before I invite people to stand, Holy Spirit, I pray that in this moment, that You will sanctify this moment, that You will set it aside to do something powerful and meaningful and incredible in somebody's life. Lord, I praise You and I thank You for it this morning. Holy Spirit, do not allow anything to interfere with what You're doing in this moment. Clear people's minds of what they have to go and do, and let us just stop for a moment, Lord. And this morning, God, if there's a man or a woman here that they've refused to allow You to really punctuate their life. You really are not their Lord. They're their own Lord. They want to get that straight this morning, God. When I give the call, I pray that they would stand up, have the courage and the boldness to stand up. And Lord, for the Christians, some Christian individuals that are here this morning, that they just have gone back and meddled in your punctuation. They've been unable to leave those things alone. They've been unable to accept that that's just a comma and that there's a pause in life. And this morning, they want to surrender that area of their life over to You. And I pray that they too would be bold and courageous, and I thank You for that. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, if you know you've not allowed God to really punctuate your life, or there's an area in your life that you really have gone back and meddled in, but you want to fully surrender it to God this morning, I want you to stand up right where you are, right in your seat, right where you are. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, teenager. Thank you. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, sir. Thank you. Oh, yes, God. Come on, church, worship and just keep interceding. God's doing something right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what You're doing. Yes, Lord. All of these individuals that are standing here this morning, God, I thank You and I praise You for it, God. I thank You for it, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, we're a family here this morning, and you are loved. If you're standing, you're a family, and you are loved. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask everyone to open their eyes, and just you remain standing, and I want a hand on the back of every person that's standing up this morning. Come on, church family, get up and move. I want a hand on the back of every person that's standing up this morning. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you that this morning, right now, God, you are punctuating people's lives like never before. That God, that there are some individuals that are here this morning that they are giving over. They are surrendering over. They are giving their lives over to you, God. They are saying they don't want to be the Lord anymore. They're willing to accept that you are punctuating their lives, that you are writing your story within their story. I pray that after this morning, God, that their story will begin to make sense. They'll stop living for themselves and start living for you. And God, when they live for you, that their life for them will begin to make sense. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for joy. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, God, this morning, God, that as they stood in their heart, Lord, they were saying this morning, they surrender, they give their lives to you. I praise and I thank you for it this morning. God, I thank you that there are many that stood this morning. God, they know they're saved. They know they're redeemed. They know they belong to you. But there's an area in their life that they've kept meddling in. They've kept changing the periods to commas and the commas to periods and not accepting it, God. And I pray this morning that this morning, God, they will allow you by your Holy Spirit to do the work in their lives that you designed to do and desire to do, that their life will begin to be filled with purpose and with meaning, that they will find freedom from old habits and old hang-ups, God, that by the anointing, God, you will do powerful things. And I praise and I thank you for it this morning. We worship and we glorify you in it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Now look at me this morning. Everybody, all of you look at me, particularly those that raised your hand this morning. Listen to me this morning. Listen to me. God wants nothing more than to write your story in a way that it has purpose and meaning, that it will be for His glory and for your good. That's what He promises us. He loves you and He wants to do good in your life. This morning, the challenge today is going to be for you to allow Him to do that, to allow Him to put the commas and the periods, to allow Him to do in your life what He desires to. Because listen, His plan is better than your plan. His purpose is better than your purpose. What He wants to do is grander than what you can possibly do. God will not disappoint you. He'll bring glory to His name. And in the process, Romans 8:28 says He'll bring good to your life. Amen? Amen. I want everybody to stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, we praise and we thank you this morning for the power that there is in the name of Jesus. We worship you and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done in our lives this morning. We thank you, Lord, for honoring Sean and our Lord to do that this morning. And we thank you, God, as we go forth from here. We accept your punctuation and we know you've just started writing the story. The best is yet to come. And we praise and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. Amen.